Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we thank you for yet another day, yet another chance, and yet another opportunity to come before your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts, with our mouth full of praise, with open hearts ready to receive from you, ready to hear from you, God. I ask you just to minister to me, minister through me, let your Holy Spirit reign and rest and rule and abide it, and have your way in my life and my heart. God, let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let somebody be saved, enlightened, touched, and set free through the words that come out of that I speak. In your mighty name I pray, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us again. We are going to jump right in and continue on with the series we started with Anxious for Nothing. And today we're going to talk about perspective of praise and how your perspective and how you, the way you take things in, or the way you receive the data that is given or that is taken in, changes your day and changes your outlook and changes the way you see the world in which you live in. You heard it saying before, the glass is either half empty or the glass is half full. Depending on your perspective, determines how you go about anything, any challenge, any circumstance, or any situation that you come across any part of the day. So if you have a situation where you have the mindset where the glass is half full, it's always, you're always looking on the bright side. And if you're looking at the situation when the glass is half empty, you're always looking at the negativity and always looking at the downside. I'm reminded of a very classic film, a very popular film, one of the best films that was ever made, called Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey. And he went all the way to try to find this girl that he had a crush on named Mary. And when he finally got to her, he finally made his way and he took his shot and kind of got shot down. Just, you know, we would think it was shot down, but he didn't take it that way. He asked her, he's like, what's the chances of me and you, you know, getting together and having a relationship? And she was like, not good. He's like, come on, shoot it to me straight. What is it? Is it like a 1 in 100? She's like, no, more like 1 in 1,000,000. And the way he took it was, so I have a chance. Yes. Now, if we had that kind of mindset and the things that come across our lives that would tend to make us feel anxious or feel to make us feel depressed or stressed or downtrodden, and if we had that kind of mindset, we would have a mindset of what I would call a mindset of praise rather than a mindset of sorrow. So you could take those things and you could look at the bright side and say, wow, I have this test and these trials. And I was like, well, that means God's going to work things out because I can't handle it. This is so much more than I can take. That means God is going to work things out because he's done it before. He's going to do it again. But if you had the mindset of the other where the glass is always half empty, and you're like, well, woe is me. The devil's trying to get me down. The man is trying to get me down. I can't take no more. I just can't take it. Then that's when you kind of need somebody to help you out and you need to help change your mindset or change your perspective to a perspective of praise. We're going to jump right in with the key verse that we started with throughout this whole series, Philippians 4:4-7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, God, here it is. Paul is telling us, he's talking to the church at Philippi, how their mindset would change their outlook and how changing the way they perceive things and change the way they take the challenges that we're all going to come across through our life. It changes how we react to those situations and change how we take them in. So it's like this. If you can change your attitude, you can change your altitude. If you can change your attitude, you can change your altitude. So if you can change how you feel about things and how you take those things and how you react to certain situations and stimuli, you could change your altitude and you could rise above the challenges and circumstances that come across your life. We're all going to come across tests. We're all going to come across trials. We're all going to come across tribulations of one thing of another. But if we could change the how we look at it or how we receive it and how we react to those situations and stimuli, we could change our altitude. We could rise above those storms that seem to get us down. It's a saying, if you want to fly with eagles, you got to stop hanging around with chickens. So eagles fly above the storms. And when it starts to rain, they put their wings out and they fly out and they go above the clouds. And before you know it, they're looking down over the storms that are getting the chickens wet. So if you want to soar with the eagles, God wants us to soar like eagles, like the Philadelphia Eagles. Come on, hoorah. He wants you to soar. He wants you to rise above your storms. So trust in God and let him worship him. Put your arms up and worship God and let his spirit add wind to your wings and lift you up above your storms, lift you up above your clouds. And before you know it, those things that were getting you drowned, the things that were getting you down, you're looking above those storms, you're looking above those tests and those trials and those situations. And God is going to take you out over the situations and those storms. Amen. And here it is, because you realize that because God is good, because God is great. He created this whole world. He's done great things. So we bless him. We praise him for the things that he's done. But then as we get deeper and as we get more mature and as we get more, know more about God and what he is in our lives, we know about not just what he's done, but who he is. And so we praise God for the things that he's done, but we worship him for who he is. So we don't just worship God for what he's done. We worship him for who he is, because he is I am that I am. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the healer. I am the way maker. I am your banner. So God, we worship God because of who he is in every situation, in every trial, in every circumstance. He is that God above that trial. He is that God above that circumstance. He is a God above that could take you through that test and that feeling of anxiety that you're feeling. That feeling of worry, that feeling of stress, that feeling of being depressed. If you put your trust in him, he can take you out. He can take you above those tests and those trials. He can take you through those tests because you can't avoid them. We talked about that last week. You can't avoid it, because if you avoid it, you're still going to be back in that circle of anxiety. He doesn't want you to be stuck in the circle. He wants you to rise above your stress. He wants you to rise above your anxiety. He wants you to rise above those tests and those trials that seem to be getting you down. Amen. So when Paul was writing this letter to the church of Philippians, he wasn't just giving them a hoorah speech for like a cheerleader kind of does, or he actually lived through a situation that, depending on how you take it, determines how you react. He was actually put in prison for preaching the word of God. And what he did, he didn't stay down. He didn't say, woe is me, you know, just because I was doing this good thing for God and all of a sudden I'm put in this prison and I'm put down here and I'm going to be locked up for who knows how long. Not only was I locked up, but I was beaten in to nearly an inch of my life. And but he didn't take that perspective of worry or take that perspective of stress, but he took on the perspective of praise. Let's read this. We're going to go into the book of Acts. Hold on, come on. The 16th chapter, starting with the 16th verse. The Acts, the 16th chapter, starting with the 16th verse. Bear with me. So once when we were gone to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. So finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us, Romans, to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. And so Paul and Silas were preaching the word of God, and they came across a woman who had a, what you call a spirit, of a familiar spirit. She was a soothsayer or a fortune teller. She was telling them things that were, telling people the things that were true, but she was not of God. You know, that goes to tell you that, you know, even the devil knows who's God is, who God is. And so he didn't want, she was just annoying them. He said, these are, you know, the children of the Most High God. And they were just annoying Paul and Silas, and they couldn't let it go on anymore. So they cast that spirit out of her. And what happened was, the people that were, I guess, in charge of, or masters of that slave girl, were utilizing her gifts for their monetary gains. And so when Paul cast that spirit out of her, she had no more of that spirit inside of her, so she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. So she couldn't make them any more money. So it's something about when you get between a person with power and their money, how they react. And that shows you who their God is. If you come between somebody and their money and they react harshly to you, and they react, if you're doing, especially if you're doing the right thing, and if they come out, attack you, you know that they worship that money more than they worship the God who provided the money. So Paul and Silas attacked that mammon. Paul and Silas attacked not only that spirit, but the God that those magistrates, that those people, the slaveholders, were worshiping, basically, because they were profiting off of the spirit that resided inside of her. So when they cast the spirit out of her, they took him before the magistrates, and they wanted them beaten, and they beat them, and they put them into the inner cell, put them into prison. And so they got beat within an inch of their life, and they put them into a cell, and the magistrate told the prisoner, the guard, to watch them and make sure he keep an eye on them. So you would think that Paul and Silas would be like, "Oh man, why do we do that?" Or Silas would go to Paul, "See, you and your big mouth, you always got to do stuff. You do too much, you know." And Paul's like, "Shut up. It's bothering me. See, you always got to be right. Always got to have last word. Shut up. They was getting on my nerves." But so no, they didn't take that approach. They didn't realize. They said, "You know what? It's because we're doing this because of God. We're doing this because of Jesus. Jesus gave us this platform. Jesus gave us this gift. He gave us this free gift called salvation, and we're here to preach it and spread it throughout the world. So even if we can't spread it without the world, maybe we'll spread it within the prison." And what they didn't realize, that their prison was about to become their platform. And so you might find yourself into a prison type situation. You might find yourself into a cell or a time where you're locked up, not just physically, but even locked up inside your mind. You're even locked up to a place where you can't go out and freely do what you want to do. You might be quarantined. You might be stuck in a place where you can't be as free as you want to be. But God is about to turn that prison into your platform. What? Yes, he's about to turn your prison into a platform. All you need to do is worship him. And to trust God. The God that got you to that prison is the God that's going to take you out of that prison. It's going to turn that prison into a platform for God to get the glory out of everything in your life. Amen. So let's continue on. The 25th verse, it says, "And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." And as you read that, there's certain things I want you to take note of. 25th verse says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So they weren't in jail alone. And so when they got locked up, they might have locked their bodies up, but they didn't lock their spirit. They didn't lock their praise. You might have put my body into chains. You might be able to put my arms or my legs into bondage, but you can't stop my praise. And that's what they were telling him. So look, you're going to put me in jail. You're going to put me locked up. You might as well lock my lips up too, because I'm going to give God praise. But they didn't lock their lips up because they started singing praises to God. Paul and Silas started worshiping and having an all-night worship fest. And about midnight, an earthquake happened. And so at midnight, an earthquake happened, and the prison doors were shaken, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the prison's doors opened, and everyone's chains became loose. Take note of that. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. But then the earthquake shook because of the hymns and praises that the God that Paul and Silas were praying. The earthquake came, and everybody's chains was freed. Everybody's prison doors came open. That tells you the price that your breakout is attached to your breakthrough. Your breakout is attached to your breakthrough. So you might be locked into chains. You might be locked into bondage. But if you don't let that bondage your praise, if you don't let those shackles shackle your praise, if you don't let that chain your praise, your breakthrough is attached to your breakout. So all you got to do is break out of bondage by breaking through with a praise. And that also shows you that not only that Paul and Silas were freed, everybody around them was freed. Everybody that was in the same situation, they just listened and they got free too. So that tells you that their breakout is attached to your breakthrough. So just think about it. Just because you're in bondage, just because you're into a prisoner's type mind, it's not all about you. Like we talked about last week, world does not revolve around you, but it revolves around Christ. So maybe you're there for a reason. Maybe you're there in lockdown to get somebody else free by your praise. Maybe you're in a situation that seems that you can't handle it. You can't take it. But if you just catch on to a praise, you're not going to break yourself free. You're going to break everybody else that's in around you breaking free. Amen. So not only is your breakthrough, your breakout attached to your breakthrough, but their breakout is attached to your breakthrough. And I might be in a place, but I'm with you. And I'm locked up and I'm shackled up and I'm depressed and I'm in a pessimistic type of mind and I just can't get a praise through. So that means that when you praise, my breakthrough, my breakout is attached to your breakthrough. So that breakout or your breakthrough is contagious. Your breakthrough is able to get people free. It's not just to get yourself free, but it's to get those around you free. That deserves a praise break right about there. So whatever you're going through, no matter what's going through, get yourself a praise, even if it's a hallelujah or a thank you, Jesus, or just lifting up your hands and to worship God, because you're not just breaking yourself free. You're breaking everybody else that's around you free, because your praise is contagious. Amen. Let's continue on. 16th chapter again, 29th and 30th verse. Let's lock it up. All right, so the jailer called for the lights. He rushed in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's the end of the whole matter. It was at that moment that they realized why they were locked up in jail. Because they were there to save the jailer. They were sent there. They thought that they were being sent on a punishment, but they were sent on a mission. You thought that you're being locked up because you're being punished, but you're being promoted to be a minister. You thought that you were being put somewhere and locked down or locked up, but God is sending you there on purpose because he knows you are there. You are there to be a light and to be an example of who God is and his love, his grace, and his mercy. And somebody's going to, if you just take the right approach, you can get the right result. And somebody's going to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And all you need to do is lead into Jesus that led you to where you are. Just think about it. If you take on the perspective of praise, it not only frees yourself, but it has the ability to free others that are around you. We have a saying here, each one reach one. I can reach the one that you can't reach because I'm not in close proximity to them. But wherever you are, you have the duty, you have the obligation, you have the ability to reach the ones that are around you. You don't have to be in a perfect place. You don't have to be at a perfect spot. You don't have to know the perfect words. All you need to know is I know a perfect God that can get you out of this unperfect situation. I serve a perfect God that can take you through this unperfect circumstance. I know a perfect God that can take you through this unperfect problem. I know a God that can take you from the jailhouse to the penthouse. I could take you, God. I can tell you about a God that can just take me out of the prison that's might even locked up in my mind and make me free, that I can think freely, that I can praise freely. Even though my body might be locked up, even though I might be depressed or physically stressed or things like that, I know a God that can take you through all of that. So I just go to tell you that your praise has the potential to change lives. Your praise has the potential to make not only yourself free, but those around you free. If you just take on the right perspective of praise, rather than the pessimistic perspective of worry and fret and woe is me, God can get the glory out of all of that, because God can shine his light in a dark situation. And where God's light is, darkness can't prevail. When God's light is around, sin has no place. When God's light is around, hell has no place. When God's light is around, death has no place. When God's light is around, the enemies of this world, the demons and imps and all those around this world have no place and have no power in your life, because where God's light is, his perfect light, his perfect love, his perfect peace, his perfect joy, it casts out all doubts, casts out all worries, casts out all stress, casts out all fears. God's love casts out all things, negative things. So all you need to do is, even if you get a little flicker of light, even if you get a little flicker of a praise, even if you can get a little flicker of a hallelujah or a thank you, Jesus, let God just bubble up on the inside and get that praise through. And what you do is, that praise is contagious, and it frees you, it frees those around you. And they'll come to you, man, we all got letters to be laid off. We all got furlough notices, but you don't have that perspective. You don't see anything wrong with it. You seem to be taking it in stride. Yeah, we all about to lose our jobs, but it don't matter because I don't work for this job. I work for a God that provided the job to the job. I serve a God that is not just like a help meter or like a paycheck to paycheck. He controls it all. So if he took me to this place, he took me to this job, he's going to lead me to the next thing, because maybe he has something better for me. And maybe if you follow me, you can work for me, because God's going to lead me up higher and higher. Maybe I was here to learn what not to do. Maybe I was here to learn the business, and so now I'm going to take what I've learned and make myself an entrepreneur and be my own boss. Maybe you could take this time and listen and learn the things that God's brought you through, and God's going to bring you through different things and different reasons and things like that, because sometimes God puts us in or allows us to be in places that are uncomfortable or situations that seem beneath us or depressing or seem bad, but maybe that's not your prison. Maybe that's your assignment. Maybe that's your assignment because that's your way of ministering to the people that are there. Or maybe it's a way of you learning about yourself and your character and let your character be built so that you could be the person that God wants you to be, a person of good character, a person of good intent, a person that's a faithful even in the negative things, even in the bad things. I was faithful even in the prison. I was serving God even in the prison. And because of that, the prison, the guard and his family are saved now because I was praising God. So here's the thing. Bad things are going to happen. I don't want to just put it out there saying God's going to, you know, you're going to have high days and happy, happy, joy, joy, and be happy all the time. But bad things are going to happen. But it determines, you can't control the things that happen to you. You can control what, how you react to those things and how you take those things in. So if you take the perspective or the mindset of praise rather than the mindset of a pessimistic or woe is me, your outset is going to change. So what you, your income is going to be your income, but your outcome determines who you are. So I said all that to say this. Your life revolves around God. And as, if you take care of God, then he's going to take care of you. And we say that we never like to let this time go without introducing somebody that may not know God or may know Jesus in their heart. And the Keith PK, what are you talking about, this Jesus guy? Yeah, this Jesus, he's the one, he's God's son. He's God's son that was born from Virgin Mary, that was sent down as a perfect sacrifice to die for your sins and my sins, because none of us are perfect. But he's the only perfect guy, perfect God, into the role to a perfect man to take away all of our sins. And he wants to live in your heart and to mine, have his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within in all of us. And I call it the very simple, it's very simple, the ABCs of salvation. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Because of that, we have the ABCs of salvation. A, we want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You want to acknowledge, admit, and you want to believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We want to acknowledge, admit, we want to believe, and we want to see, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So you got the ABCs of salvation. You want to acknowledge, admit, you want to believe, and you want to confess. And it's just ask God into your heart, ask Christ into your heart to save you and to make you a new person. It doesn't happen, he comes in right away, but the change sometimes it's real quick, but sometimes it takes daily walking out, a daily working out, just like you work out with in your natural, your body doesn't turn into the six pack that you want it to be overnight. You have to keep working at it. And so let's pray this prayer. It says, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen. I love you guys. I love you all. If anybody's prayed that prayer with us for the first time, second time, third time, or whatever, or if anybody's looking for a church that is wanting to love you and love you, embrace you and not judge you, wants the best from you, and we'll help you get to the best that God has for you. We love you. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you live. This is online anyway. I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, I love you. I bless you. I ask God to bless you. And the Lord bless you and may He keep you. Let the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Let the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of a prison. Ask God to give you peace. Listen, I love you. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you.